Romans chapter 9. The next three chapters, Romans 9, 10, and 11, deal with Israel's history. Chapter 9 deals with Israel in the past. Chapter 10 deals with Israel in the present. Then chapter 11 deals with Israel in the future. Now, we've got to bear in mind that the theme of the book of Romans is justification by faith. And so with that theme in mind, God has seen fit to focus upon the nation of Israel, and there are some valuable lessons that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. Let's read Romans chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3. Romans chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible reads, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we once again pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and that you would guide us and lead us into understanding spiritually. And we pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. Within these next three chapters, God spells out why he has set the nation of Israel aside, and thereby salvation was offered to the Gentiles, that is non-Jews, that's you and I. And yet in the future, he will restore the nation of Israel spiritually. And this is the emphasis within these wonderful chapters, 9, 10, and 11. But I have a confession to make to you this morning. I was planning on preaching one sermon on chapters 9, 10, and 11. Now that's more sinister than preaching two sermons on chapters 6, 7, and 8. But as I began to work through this passage of Scripture, I thought to myself, that's an impossibility. So, nevertheless, we're going to try to spend one sermon per chapter. So this morning's topic is chapter 9, which deals with God's dealings with the nation of Israel in the past. Now, the passage of Scripture that we've just read, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Apostle Paul makes a confession. And he tells us that I'm telling you the truth, and my conscience bears witness. And this confession is this, as it spells out in verse number 2, the Apostle Paul had a deep burden for his own people, for their salvation, in other words. In fact, in verse number 3, the Apostle Paul said that I honestly before God and with a clear conscience, I lie not. In other words, I'm not just talking, this is really my heart. He said, I am prepared to be accursed, damned, spend eternity in hell, if that is the difference between the nation of Israel being saved or not. That was his passion. So the Apostle Paul conveys a burden for his own people. And he said to the people of Rome, and as we take note of his declaration this day, the Apostle Paul was prepared to be eternally damned in hell for the sake of his own people. The word accursed there in verse number 3 is a very strong word. He's referring to damnation. He's referring to eternal separation from a holy God. And he is saying, I'm prepared to be accursed. I'm prepared to go to hell for all of eternity, if that is the if that makes all the difference, that my people, the nation of Israel, might be saved. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a burden for your people? Do we have a burden for our people? See, according to the flesh, the Apostle Paul was a Jew. And he so loved these people that he said, I'm prepared to go to hell, if that makes all the difference, that my people might be saved. What a burden for his own people. And also note there in chapter 10, verse 1, that we'll look at next week, Lord willing, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What about your people? Do you have a burden for your people? This morning we sang our national anthem. Do you have a burden for our nation? Oh, but Pastor, I'm concerned about missions. Well, missions includes Australia. The Apostle Paul had a burden for his own people. And brethren, this morning I'd like to challenge you first and foremost concerning the area of a burden for our own people. It's hypocritical to have a burden for the people of Japan and to have a burden for the people of Tonga and to have a burden for the people of Nepal and yet not have a burden for Sydney, Australia. That's hypocrisy. See, first and foremost, the Bible teaches us in Acts 1:8 that we are to be a witness first in our Jerusalem. We need to have a burden for our own people. And I'd like to challenge you, my friend, this morning. We're entering into that Christmas season. This is the time of the year to take advantage and in getting the gospel out. See, the Apostle Paul said, I am prepared to go to hell, not that it would happen because the Bible teaches, once saved, always saved, but he's sharing his heart, and I trust you're catching his heart. He's prepared to forfeit heaven and spend eternity in hell in order that his people might be saved. Would you be prepared to have that type of a burden? Do you have that type of a burden? What about our own people? What about Australia that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, Pastor, I don't have a burden for Australia. But what are you doing here? I don't care about Australia. Well, what are you doing here? Don't you understand, as a child of God and the providence of God, this is our nation. We need to have a burden for our people. See? So the Apostle Paul conveys first and foremost here in chapter 9 that he has a burden for the salvation of his own people. And may God grant us all a burden and love for the people of Australia that they might come to a knowledge of the truth. And I trust that you and I will do our part in communicating that truth during this Christmas season. Then we move on in verses 4 and 5, and the Apostle Paul, bearing in mind that the whole chapter deals with God's past dealings with the nation of Israel. Look at verses 4 and 5, please. Who are Israelites. So he makes it very clear that he's referring to the nation of Israel. His physical roots, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Verse 5, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all? This is Christ. God. Who is God? Christ. Flesh, Christ who came. Who is over all? God blessed forever. He is eternal. Amen. So verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul conveys to us that God has placed a blessing upon his people. Israel has been blessed spiritually. Unfortunately, we know from Bible history that the nation of Israel failed to maximize the blessings that were entrusted to them. And here within these two verses, verses 4 and 5, the Bible outlines some of the key blessings that the nation of Israel had at their fingertips. The Bible makes reference to adoption. In other words, God considered Israel as His people, and Jehovah is God to the nation of Israel. He makes reference to glory. The word glory here is in reference to the presence of God that was evident amongst the people of God. He makes reference to covenants here in verse number 4. The word covenant means a contract or agreements, and God made agreements with His people through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Then the Bible makes reference to the giving of the law. God gave to His people the Word of God. They were given God's Word. They were given instruction concerning how to live. And these are all the benefits that God's people had at their fingertips. Then he goes on to write in verse number 4, also the service of God and the promises of God. So the Apostle Paul makes it evident to all that Israel as a nation has been blessed by being considered the children of God, adoption, the glory of God, God's presence, the covenants, the law of God, the privilege of serving God, and it's to the people of God that God made many promises. God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that I'm going to use your nation to be a blessing to the whole world. And that chief promise is fulfilled and was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. In verse number 5, that is clearly spelled out, that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, this one that we celebrate His birth, the Lord Jesus Christ, came through the line of the nation of Israel. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, God has blessed my people as a nation. It is through my people that God has manifested Himself in the flesh, that is Jesus Christ, God over all. Eternal God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So in verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul shares his heart. He has a burden for his own people. Do you have a burden for your people? Do you have a burden for the people of Australia? We need to. May God stir within our hearts a renewed and revived burden for our people, the people within our nation. And then in verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul makes reference to the fact that Israel has been blessed spiritually. At their fingertips, there are countless privileges and blessings set apart for the people of God. And may I submit to you, my friend, for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we likewise are blessed spiritually, are we not? We have the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have the promises of God. We are the children of God. We are blessed beyond measure. But we, like the nation of Israel of old, though we are children of the King, many of God's people are guilty of living like paupers. See? Living like spiritual beggars. And we so often fail to maximize those countless blessings that God has for His people. And the Apostle Paul is stressing the fact that, hey, God has blessed my people. God has chosen to work through the nation of Israel. And then from verses 6 to verse number 13, He tells us why God has chosen Israel to be His channel of blessing, so to speak, to the whole world. Now, it's very important that we bear in mind that the reference here in chapter 9 to the nation of Israel is in reference to God using His people as a channel of blessing to the whole world. God has chosen Israel as a nation to be a means of blessing to the whole world. And so He's not specifically referring to the issue of salvation. He's referring to God has chosen to use Israel as a means of service to the whole world. The salvation element comes into play. Look at verse number 8, please. We don't have time to read all of verses 6 to 13, but look at verse number 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are Israelites by birth physically, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So in other words, God has chosen to use the nation of Israel for a purpose. And we know predominantly in verses 4 and 5, predominantly it is with the goal of providing a Savior for the world. Jesus Christ was born into a Jewish home, and it was through the line of Abraham, through the line of King David, we have a Savior in the world. That's why the Bible teaches us that salvation is of the Jews. It is not only for the Jews, it's for the Gentile. And praise God for that. But the provision of God's salvation is in and through the nation of Israel. And God tells us that I have chosen to use Israel for this purpose. And my friend, this morning, I'd like to stress the fact that God is God. He chooses to use whom He will, when He wills. See, look at verse number 11, please. Chapter 9, verse number 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of Him that calleth. And what that simply means is that God chooses to use whom He wills, when He wills. That is God's prerogative, because He is God. See, He is God. God used a wicked king by the name of Cyrus to order and allow the people of God to go back to Jerusalem and build a temple. God has used the Babylonians. God has used the Assyrians. God, once upon a time, used a donkey to declare the word of God. See, God can use anybody. These are all channels of God's usages. And there is a vast difference between being a channel of God's usefulness and having or possessing God's salvation. So what the Apostle Paul is simply saying, that it is to the nation of Israel, God has chosen in His grace to use the nation of Israel to bless the whole world. But that does not equate to salvation. You can be an Israelite by birth physically, but to be an Israelite spiritually, that's another issue. And we'll get to that in a moment. See? No matter what capacity you and I serve in, we ought to praise Him that He has chosen to use us for His service. I thought about the spiritual gifts outlined in Romans chapter 12. The Bible teaches us that these gifts are given out according to His grace. Why is it that God has given you a spiritual gift, and your gift is different to my spiritual gift? How do you explain that? Are you awake this morning? How do you explain that? Does God have a right to give you maybe the gift of mercy, which I don't have? I've got to be spirit-filled to exercise mercy. I'm a prophet at heart. Now, it's not my fault. That's my gift. You've probably worked that out. To me, black is black and white is white and grey is an artificial colour. That's obvious, is it not? See? So to a prophet, that's how it is. Black, white, grey is artificial. It is not a real colour. So who are we? What was it in me that caused God to give me the gift of prophecy? What was in you that God gave you the gift of giving or mercy or teaching? We are all recipients of God's grace. And God is saying to us that I have chosen to use Israel for a purpose. And because I am God, I can do as I please. And the Apostle Paul is emphasizing that very fact. See? God is all-powerful. And God can work as He chooses to work. And then from verses 19, please, down to verse number 29, this is emphasized. Look at verse number 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So he illustrates this fact that God is God and He can move and work as He chooses, and God has seen fit to use Israel as the conduit or the channel of blessing to the whole world. And He illustrates that fact by making reference to that potter. That potter with that lump of clay on the wheel. And He illustrates the fact that we are like that lump of clay on that wheel. He is the potter. We have no say in the matter. It is the potter who chooses how to mold that clay according to His will. And so likewise, God is God. And God chooses to use whom He wills, when He wills. But we can be assured of the fact that God is always purposeful. When God chooses to use you and I for a particular task, it is always with purpose. Look at verse number 23. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. So God is out to glorify His name. So in whatever way that God chooses to use you and I, there is a goal in mind. As God chose to use the nation of Israel, it was with a goal in mind. And ultimately, to provide salvation for the whole world through the birth, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Also look at verse number 24, please. Now concerning God's workings within our lives in service, God is not only purposeful, but also the Bible teaches us that God is not partial. Look at verse 24, please. Even as whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. See? See, God is not partial, pardon me. The Bible teaches us that partiality is an evil thing. Listen to me. Listen to me, parents. Favoritism is evil. The Bible teaches us to have favorites is evil. Just read the book of James, chapter 2 and chapter 3. God is not partial. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't love me any more than He loves you? And vice versa? For God so loved the world
though some of us are a little bit more lovable than others, God is not partial. And God is teaching us in His Word that just like God has chosen to use Israel in a very special way in providing salvation for the whole world, this is not to the exclusion of those that are not by nature Israelites or Jewish. It is not like that God plays favorites, that God loves the nation of Israel, though God has chosen to use the nation of Israel to provide salvation for the whole world. Yet God's love is not partial. God's love is unconditional. For God so loved the world. See? And to confirm this fact that God is not partial, the Apostle Paul quotes out of the book of Hosea. Look at verses 25 and 26, please. And he saith also unto Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, non-Jews, and her beloved which are not beloved. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And that same thought is emphasized in verses 27 down to verse number 29, as he quotes out of the book of Isaiah. So the Apostle Paul here stresses the fact that even though God has chosen to use the nation of Israel in a very special way to provide salvation for the whole world, this is not to the exclusion of all those that are not part of the nation of Israel. We are not excluded. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, this is not favoritism, this is simply God in His providence and in His sovereignty has chosen to use Israel as the channel of blessing to the whole world. But this is not to the exclusion of those that are outside of the nation of Israel. In other words, salvation is available to all people. And therefore, he quotes out of Hosea chapter 2 verse 23 and teaches us that I will call them my people that are not my people by flesh and blood. So he's referring to a salvation that's available to all, provided through the nation of Israel. This is wonderful doctrine. I hope you're excited about the fact that God loves you. God is not partial. God in His grace chooses to use you and I in a very special way. So He's referring to the issue that I as God am choosing to use Israel as my people for a very special service. But at the end of the day, the Apostle Paul, as it read there in verse number 8, there are some people that are Israelites by nature, by flesh and blood, but yet they are not Israelites spiritually. See? And this is that portion of Scripture that we move into. In verse number 29, as the Apostle Paul gets to his punchline, so to speak, in verse number 29, he outlines the fact that God has a plan for deliverance from judgment to come. And he quotes out of the book of Isaiah. Note then verse 29, except the Lord of Sabaoth, as God's people were called upon to remember the Sabbath, it was a weekly reminder of the promises and the covenants that God made with His people. Then it goes on to read, had not left us a seed. We had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. So in other words, God is teaching us from His Word that He is not only purposeful, God is not partial, but God has a plan for deliverance from the judgment of sin. Lest we be judged for our sin as Sodom and Gomorrah was judged for the sin of homosexuality. God has a plan. The million-dollar question is, what is this plan of God that is available to all? What is this plan? Good question. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I've got a burden for my own people. I've got a burden for my own people. Then he stressed the fact that my people are blessed. They've been blessed with the oracles of God. They've been blessed with the promises of God. They've been blessed with the presence of God. They've been blessed. They've been blessed. They've been blessed. They've got all these blessings at their fingertips. But yet many of them are not really children of Abraham. They are not really spiritual children of God. But God is teaching us in His Word that God has chosen to use the nation of Israel for a purpose. And verse number 5 stressed that fact, that ultimate purpose was to provide a Savior for the whole world. And this plan is spelled out from verses 30 to 33. What is this plan of God that is available to all? And this plan has been made available through God's past dealings with the nation of Israel. Let's read carefully verses 30 to 33. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, listen carefully, but Israel, verse 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Apostle Paul concludes this brief analogy or summary of Israel's past history by simply spelling out or clearly defining what he meant there in verse number 8, where he said, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. And he tells us here in verses 30 to 33 that even though the Gentiles were not divinely chosen of God to be used of God in a special way, the Gentiles have obtained righteousness by faith. But my people, said the Apostle Paul, but Israel are trying to attain righteousness by their works. Is this not the whole theme of the book of Romans? In Romans chapter 4, please, verse number 5. Bear with me. I know you're hot. I know you're tired. I know you're sleepy. So am I. Okay, chapter 4, verse 5, please. This is very, very important. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So in summary, the Apostle Paul was burdened for his people, he was burdened for their salvation, because Israel as a people have been privileged with all of these advantages,
And yet for many, they have yet to attain to God's righteousness because they are trying to be just before God in their own strength. They're trying to obey the law as a medium of justification. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, can't you guys work it out? It's a faith. The Gentiles have worked it out. But you guys, you've got my promises, you've got my word, you've got my presence, and you guys are trying to earn your way to heaven. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Gentiles have worked out that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but God saves us by faith. And is this not the whole theme of the book of Romans? Justification by faith and faith alone. It really burdened the Apostle Paul, the fact that salvation was at the fingertips of God's people. And yet they rejected their Messiah, they rejected Jesus Christ. Israel as a nation rejected Jesus Christ as their Saviour. They stumbled at the fact that their Messiah would be a suffering Saviour. They stumbled at that fact. And thereby, as a people nationally, Israel rejected Jesus Christ. And therefore salvation was offered to the Gentiles. And this so burdened the heart of the great Apostle Paul, that his own people, according to the flesh, had salvation at their fingertips, yet they missed the point. See? They missed the point that God has chosen Israel as a channel of blessing to the whole world. Now that did not equate to salvation. Please bear that in mind. He chose Israel for service. And there are people today that believe in this doctrine known as Calvinism. And this doctrine basically teaches that God chooses some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. That is a doctrine of the devil. That is a doctrine of the devil. Because if that is really true, then God is partial. The whole chapter spells out God is not partial. But at the same time, God has chosen to use Israel for his service as a channel of blessing to the whole world. But yet the Apostle Paul is saying to his own people, though God has chosen to use your people, your nation, as a channel of blessing to the whole world, still every Israelite, like every Gentile, must come to that point of faith in Christ. There are people today that would say, I'm a Christian because I'm a Catholic. Or I'm a Christian because I live in a Christian country. My friend, the only way that a person can become a true spiritual child of Abraham is by placing their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Are you a Christian? Are you like the nation of Israel in their past history and even to this very day? There are Jews all over the world that are still waiting for their Messiah and trying to earn their own righteousness by their own works. Yet the whole purpose of the book of Romans is justification by faith and faith alone. And that's my challenge this morning. As we've studied through Romans chapter 9,
God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Let's not take that for granted. Are you listening to me? Don't take that for granted. God has a purpose for your life. What are you doing with the privilege of life and breath? May God grant us the grace to just work out what that purpose is, and let's serve Him, because we're thankful that God in His providence has given us purpose in service. And secondly, this morning, you might be here, and because of your background, you might be trusting in something apart from faith as your ticket to heaven. And my friend, this morning, the Bible teaches us that we are only justified by faith alone, not by works, lest any man should boast. Whether Jew or Gentile, whether you live in Australia or Africa or China or New Zealand or Samoa or Japan, Myanmar, at the end of the day, a person gets to heaven by placing their faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I'm thankful that in God's providence, He has chosen to provide a Savior in and through the nation of Israel. And that's why God said to Abraham, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. Because God has chosen to use the nation of Israel as a medium to provide salvation for the whole world. So even though she is the medium, the channel, that does not equate for salvation to salvation. Whether Jew, whether Gentile, all of us must come to that place of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And I trust and pray you've come to that point. Let's bow for prayer. Let's be upstanding, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed.